sermons during our stewardship season. The series has been about God calling us to live lives upside down, differently than the world calls us to live, but living by a different wisdom, a different truth, seeing things that God asks us to see and not being blind to them. And today, the last sermon in this series is entitled, "The Foolish Are Wise." There are two readings. The first comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 20, and then I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians. Give your attention now to the reading of God's holy word. Luke 20, beginning at verse 17. "But he," that is Jesus, "looked at them and said, 'What then does this text mean? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls.'" And then the second reading in Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth, in chapter 1, I begin reading at verse 18. "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews ask for signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But it is to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. In contrast, God is why you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord.'" Let's pray as we come to the message. Oh Lord, in these next few moments, speak to us of things which are not temporary, but things that are lasting, eternal, and true. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I find it humorous when the authorities are simply short-sighted. Another way to say that is I just love it when the experts are wrong. Let me give you some examples. In 1977, the president of Digital Equipment Corporation, I can imagine that was a big company then, the Digital Equipment Corporation, the president of that company said there is no reason for any individual to ever have a computer in their home. It was Irving Thalberg, an MGM executive, By the way, interesting story about his life. He was born in poverty in Minsk, Russia. Irving Thalberg, an MGM executive. And he once warned Louis B. Mayer not to produce Gone with the Wind. He said to Mayer, "Forget it, Louis." He said, "No Civil War movie has ever made a nickel." And Mayer took his advice. He didn't do the film. David O. Selznick is the one that did it. Way back in 1899, this is one of my favorites, Charles H. Duell. He was then the president of the U.S. Patent Office. And he's the one that said, before the turn of the last century, everything that can be invented has been invented. It was Harry Warner of Warner Brothers Pictures. During the height of the silent movies, there began to be some experiments with movies where the actors talk. And this is what Harry Warner said. "Who the heck wants to hear actors talk?" Here's one I don't like so much, but it makes a point. President Grover Cleveland, he announced in 1905, "Sensible and responsible women do not want to vote." And that gives you an idea, doesn't it, as to why he is never listed as one of our top presidents. Sensible men and women have forgotten him. It was said by the baseball legend Tris Speaker. Tris Speaker is one of the top 100 baseball players of all time. Tris Speaker was the outfielder who was said to have killed triples. He was such a good catcher. But he said in 1921 of Babe Ruth, the great Hall of Fame player, "Ruth made a big mistake when he gave up pitching." Some authorities, you see, they end up with egg on their faces, don't they? Well, these examples that I share with you this morning of foolishness, and I'll share a few more later, these examples of foolishness by wise people are nothing compared to how the authorities first underrated and then discarded our Lord. They missed the glory of Jesus. And it was the religious leaders, the experts of that day and time, that not only overlooked him, but they rejected him. To describe their foolishness in this way is to know about a legend in Jewish history that Jesus retold about himself. It's mentioned in the 118th Psalm. You can look that up. But it's also mentioned three other times in the New Testament. The story has to do with the building of Solomon's temple. And during the construction of that temple, there seemed to be one stone that was always getting in the way. They were trying to build that great temple, and this stone, they would just stumble over it. They would trip by it. They would bump into it. They would get bruised by it. And they knew where all the other stones were to go. But this one seemed like a misfit, they thought. And so they had it carted away. Eventually, they needed the stone, and someone knew where they had carted that unique stone away, and they recovered it. And so Jesus used that story in Psalm 118 to describe himself. The disciples would describe Jesus by it several times later in the New Testament. They recalled of Jesus, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Sometimes, you see, sometimes people who are supposed to be really in the know, they get it wrong. Have you ever noticed, like I have in the Bible, that it was the common folk who loved Jesus, who followed Jesus? The children came to him. These people, they seem to have intuition about who Jesus was. They seem to have a heart for him. They seem to have humility to follow him around. He spoke with authority. And they were able to see Jesus for who he really was. It's so hard to do that in this day and time. There's so many competing voices. But they sensed his lordship, is what I would argue. In fact, the early Christians who lived and died for Christ, they were by and large not the intelligentsia of the day. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote about those people. Wrote about those church people in Corinth. He said, "Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were noble of birth. But God chose what is foolish to shame the wise." And so that's it, isn't it? The wise were foolish, and the foolish are often the ones who were wise. Sadly, time and time again, greatness in history is often passed by. It's often overlooked. When Thomas Edison was a young boy, his teacher said that he was so stupid he could never learn anything. What a prejudgment that was. Walt Disney. We know about Walt Disney in Florida, don't we? Walt Disney was once fired by a newspaper editor because he was told he had no good ideas. We might still think that about some places in Florida. There was an editor, I like this one, Louisa May Alcott. An editor told her once that she was incapable of writing anything that would be popular among people. And she went on, of course, to write Little Women, that's been favored by children and adults for years. Oh, I could go on and on this morning. You know some of those stories. How many of the great ones have been misjudged, have been overlooked? But again, none of these that I mention can touch the way Jesus was bad-mouthed and not recognized by the experts, the religious people of his day and time. Indeed, they finally rejected Jesus and had him crucified. Can't you imagine those disciples for years to come would walk around, and later they would have inscribed in the Bible those words, "The stone which the experts rejected has become the chief cornerstone." And so on this dedication Sunday, how does this affect us? How does it affect you? Have there been times that you and I have taken Jesus too lightly? Who or what is it that occupies the center of your being, that fills your heart and mind? Are you tired of being held hostage by the values of our world and culture, or even your own cleverness, your own self-interest? I like the story about the rich young ruler. He had everything. Rich young ruler. He had money. He had youth. He was a ruler. He had authority. He had it all. And yet, we are told in the scriptures he was still lacking, and he came to Jesus wanting something more to life, and he had it all. Nicodemus. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. He was an older man, and he was a member of the Jewish Supreme Court. He had all the knowledge you could ever muster. And he came to Jesus at night because something was missing from his life. And Jesus said to him, "You must be born from above. You must be born again." You see, the question comes this morning, if Jesus is your cornerstone, then he has something to say about your business and financial decisions and the wisdom and the integrity of them. What priority, what percentage of all that we have reflects our commitment to him, the cornerstone? If you invite him into the center of your life, then he will have things to say about all of your relationships. He will also be the Lord of your home, the Lord of your office, and the Lord of your spare time. And the point is this: he is not some figure in history who wants you or I simply to memorize or quote his teachings. He wants us to invite him to dwell deeply within us. He is to be the cornerstone of who we are, our faith, and our life. He shows us what God is like. No one else can do that. Now, I know for many people, God is just a great puzzle. He is up there somewhere, the holy other, a power greater than ourselves. Many people say that. But it seems to be, Pastor, so cloudy, so confusing. Ah, but Jesus says, look at me and you will see the Father. Jesus was the one rejected, and yet he is key to understanding the very character and nature of God, that initiating love. Jesus says that God is like the perfect Father, and God is love, and he says the Father and I are one. You know, I have met some folks who think that God causes accidents. Have you ever met anyone like that? I have met people in my life who believe that God gives people illnesses. They are superstitious. There was one woman on our church staff some 20 years ago named Carol, and Carol was a lifelong smoker. She had only one kidney, and the other had partially crystallized, and she knew this from giving birth years before. They had done some exams about 40 years before, but she had never been back to the doctor. And I encouraged Carol to go to the doctor and get an annual checkup. And she said to me, no, if I go, to me, it's a sign of my lack of faith. And if I go, my lack of faith may give me cancer. It doesn't work that way. But to some people, superstition rules their faith. When trouble comes, sometimes they do not have their life centered on Christ to show them who God is and how God behaves. You see, if God isn't like Jesus, showing his compassion, his healing, his forgiveness, his faithfulness, then we have all passed Jesus by. But Jesus is God. He is God revealed to us in the flesh. I love the story of the father who gave his small child a puzzle map. Now, this puzzle map was of the United States, and each state was a puzzle. It was a big piece. You can imagine how many pieces, right? And on the puzzle, it had the capital city of each state. And he wanted his son to know something about the geography of our country. And so he gave his child all those pieces, and he said, son, put them together. And he thought it will take some time. And the son put them together in just a few minutes. And the father was amazed, and he said, how did you put those pieces together so quickly? Oh, said the child, there was a face of a man on the other side of the puzzle, and I just put the face together. Friends, it's the face of Jesus Christ that solves even the most difficult puzzles and mysteries of life. So even those of us who are not super bright can pull it all together. God is like Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed once, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden things from the wise and have revealed them to the babes. And so I say to you this morning, as you come forward and touch the font in an act of rededication, or place in your pledge card for the coming year, or sit in your pew and pray, I invite you, don't miss him. By putting him on the back burner, sometimes for years, or by waitlisting him, or by rejecting him, don't miss him. For he is the head of the corner. And if we miss Jesus, we miss everything. Let us pray. Oh Lord, in these next few moments as we come forward, we put our faith and trust in you, and we know that that faith and trust cannot be shaken. And so may our lives, our hearts, our thoughts be acceptable in thy sight this day as we recommit our lives to you for the coming year. In Christ's name, we do just that. Amen.